Welcome to the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. If we can please rise and join Director Graham in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Thank you. So this is a time in our meeting for public comment on any items that are not agendized. Again, we allow you 3 minutes. We're here listening, but we are not able to respond. Is there anybody that has public comment?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and close public comment. We're gonna move on to the consent calendar. Is there any questions or concerns about the consent calendar?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, public comment on consent calendar? Okay, can we do a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Consent calendar is approved and carries. Now we're moving on to our area agency and liaison reports. Do we have anybody on from Supervisor Burgess's office?
We do not.
Okay. We are gonna go ahead and move on. Lieutenant Jaquez, you are up.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
It's
Thank
good
you.
To see you.
You too. Glad we all survived.
Survived the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Although until we hear the report from on fire, so I am happy to report for the month of June, we had just under 400 calls for service. I think it was 394. Of that, we generated about 61 police reports. Again, happy to report that our shoplift from Safeway and CVS, we've been able to maintain control of. We had 3 reported thefts for the month of June from Safeway, none from CVS. However, I do want to talk about 2 similar property type crimes that have my attention for the month of June. The first one occurred at the beginning of June, about June 11th. The marina was broken into in the overnight hours sometime between June 11th and June 12th. And a great deal of tools and golf carts were taken. But I am happy to say that with the assistance with the LPR cameras and yet another success case where I believe as of Thursday we recovered one of the golf carts. So we're definitely working on investigative leads. That case is still being worked, but.
There's a pretty interesting video on Nextdoor, if you've, sure you've seen it.
Yeah. So we're definitely working on that case. But again, the cameras are already helping with that. So happy about that. More recent series of events has occurred at Cornell Park that has, again, caused some concern for us. Last week, we took a report on some vandalism. Quite a bit of damage was done to the bathrooms there at the park. And then subsequently, we took another report today as a result of an incident that occurred night before last. Same thing there at the park. We have reason to believe that the people or persons responsible are riding golf carts. So we are working on trying to develop some leads for that case. Certainly is possible to juveniles, maybe not. But we are working, my deputies are working closely with the town staff. We have some ideas on stepping up extra patrol, traffic enforcement, issuing citations if we can identify those responsible, and hold them accountable for their actions and let them know that this is not acceptable behavior. So. That is our goal for that case. Like I said, that is recent news. And
in general, what are the rules of golf cart operation on the streets and ages? Is it legal?
That's where it gets a little tricky as far as like our authority to, we've had discussions about towing the golf carts and possibly, keeping them for, impounding them, if you will. There are different laws that relate to golf carts and who can operate them. So, you know, depending on, first things first is I'd like to identify who's responsible, you know, and then we can work from there as far as, you know, obviously if the golf carts were used in the commission of the crime, that gives me another avenue for authority to tow the golf carts, because then now technically they're, you know, evidence in the crime. So it gives me a little bit of leverage, but yeah, it's, the golf cart laws are slightly different than a vehicle. So
Under 16 can drive a golf cart.
I'll have to double check. You have to be, you can't be on public roadways without.
Yes.
Yeah, we see it. I know, I can speak for myself, see a lot of kids that are well under 16 driving all over in golf carts.
Well, they are appear to be under 16.
Yeah.
And a lot of golf carts, I mean, some of the more modern ones you can drive even beyond just, you know, residential areas. So there's speed limits involved as far as how, you know, the areas in which you can ride it. But so yeah, like I said, first things first is identify those responsible and then, you know, take action. But extra patrol, as you guys are well aware, the location of the park being so far south, I'm sorry, north end of Discovery Bay, and it's pretty dark and desolate over there at night. I know a couple of my officers have gone there late at night, and it's pretty dark back there. So maybe that's a discussion that maybe we can have as far as better lighting. But I think extra patrol is definitely the first place to start. And then working on trying to identify by trying to get video surveillance, maybe the public's help, and identifying, because I'm sure somebody's going to be familiar with either the individual or the group of individuals that are responsible for this. So I'm going to ask that, you know, if we get anything from the public, that will help in our investigative leads. So
thank you.
Great question.
Were there any citations issued for illegal fireworks over the 4th of July weekend? Because it kind of started on Sunday and kind of ended about 3 in the morning on Tuesday.
I'm sure, yeah. Not to my knowledge. Obviously, the deputies have to catch the people in the act of doing it. We were very fortunate out here. There weren't as many. I mean, fireworks were occurring countywide. That's, I think, a given, but we didn't get as many calls for service this year out here in East County, which, because I was monitoring the radio for a couple hours last night, and it definitely was much calmer out here than it was in other areas of East County. So, but nonetheless, there was still, it was still occurring.
Sure. No.
Yeah.
It's because Barry's not around anymore. That's why.
Yeah, no kidding. I do have one question for you. There was some confusion over the weekend as far as when people can be reported for fireworks and what happens. A number of people called and were called the fireworks number, which then for us, since we're unincorporated, went to dispatch. And they said you have to actually see the person lighting it. But then, and I do recall this a few years ago, and I was reminded of it by a number of people that the ordinance changed on that. And so I called to find out, and the first day I called, they said, oh yeah, you have to see the person. And then the next day I called, and they said they would have someone call back, and it was Bryant, Officer Bryant, anyway, and he did say that you do not have to have.
The laws, they changed the laws out here last year. Lieutenant Johnson was involved
was
with
two
changing the law with regards to, in other words, it doesn't have to be you that sees them. If I see them and I video it, that is now enough evidence for you to issue a citation. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, Officer Bryant said that they will cite based on the evidence they have, but they are the person reporting, don't have to see the person actually lighting the fireworks. So, I mean, with, you know, if we could find out about which way it is and dispatch be, that would be good.
Clarify that at the next meeting.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was confusing for a lot of people, so.
Are there any other questions?
One more. So a number of years ago, Kevin, you would probably remember when we got the license plate readers, or when P6 got the funding to do the license plate readers. in a few locations, Discovery Bay and Highway 4. Is there any way to get numbers of, you know, and it'd be great if we could get the types of arrests that were made from as a result of those license plate readers?
So currently we don't really have a method in which we track those. Like, there's no database that generates a report for us.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more on a maybe just a monthly basis to just kind of diligently keep track of that. But right now there's no mechanism in place to run a number. Now, as far as running numbers, as far as like how many plates are actually being hit, you know, we have data retention policies in place as far as how long we keep the license plates.
I think we're saying the same thing, or I'm thinking what you're saying, and that is that because of the limited ability that the license plate readers that we currently have in place have to other than identify stolen plates or cars, based on the plate, that's all they really tell us, right? A plate that's been identified as being on the watch list, let's call it. You know what those numbers are, but you don't know if there was an arrest made because of it. It was a hit, but it may not have been a successful hit. It may not have resulted in an arrest or in some sort of a, is that, am I saying the right thing?
Correct.
Okay,
so
does that answer your question?
It seems like we used to get a verbal report saying someone was arrested for this, for that, you know, because this warrant and that warrant, we would get a little bit more detail.
I think when Lieutenant Johnson knew when it was very obvious that there was success off of the reader, like they caught somebody here that had stolen a car in Stockton, he'd mention it in our meetings. Because he knows that's part of the report. It was a stolen car and we found it on the reader, but that wasn't generated by the reader, that was generated by the arrest
and just simply reviewing the cases.
Exactly.
So and oftentimes, to your point, oftentimes we do get misreads. Oftentimes we will get a hit. I'll give you a really good example. Just last night when I was monitoring the radio traffic in Bay Point, our deputies were dealing with sideshow activity of 400 people, and dispatch aired that a vehicle had hit one of the Highway 4 cameras. It was a stolen vehicle out of Nevada. Well, certainly our priority is protecting life and dealing with the fireworks and sideshow activity and all the fires that were going on. So I do believe Pittsburgh PD eventually caught up to that car later on after multiple hits, but our priority at the time was not to go looking for the stolen vehicle, or was dealing with mm-hmm. the pending calls for service. So oftentimes we may get a good hit, but circumstances prevent us from, you know, doing that. But a lot of times, I would say probably more often than not out here, you know, when we're working our investigative leads, if you will, working on cases, checking cameras, that was one of the things we did today. A bicycle was stolen from in front of McDonald's, and we were working with the license plate camera system to try to develop a lead because we had a really good description of the suspect vehicle. So oftentimes that's where we get our cases from, is by doing investigative follow-up using that system.
Any other
Understood.
Questions?
I get it.
I think if you could call them out for us, I think that would be greatly appreciated because I think it helps a ton. And so if it's knowledgeable and you know about it.
Yeah, the Marina break-in is a key example of
as long as we're on this subject, and it may not be the appropriate time for this, but if not, but I think that Parks and Rec, because of the multiple vandalisms and the inexpensiveness of the flock cameras, that we may think about looking into putting more cameras than less in Discovery Bay so we can, because if the vandalism costs $20,000 and we don't want to report it to the insurance company because it's above our deductible and yada yada, for $10,000 or $5,000 a year, we can get another camera put in there. And now it's a net gain. So I think that we should be looking at putting more flock cameras within Discovery Bay, and that would be so beneficial for repercussion, because the same thing like you guys did with the kid that they was spinning donuts and you went to their house and said, hey, and their parents said, take his keys away for a month or whatever the repercussion. We have an ability to enforce and to find responsibility. In the case of of what happened to the basketball court, if we were able to identify the golf cart, the person who owns the golf cart is ultimately responsible, not the person driving it. So we would then have a financial ability to go after them, legal, correct me if I'm wrong, for the damage that they've done, because they own the vehicle. It's just like hitting a house, you know. So anyway, we may want to look into more and see if we need a more extensive flock camera system within the town of Discovery Bay.
The flock cameras will capture vehicles without plates too, such as golf carts.
Yeah.
Other camera systems.
And we need to have a little blue light at the top that goes around so everybody knows that there's a camera there. Isn't that what that means, typically?
Yes, and oftentimes that alone is a deterrent.
It's twice there.
I mean, we tell people to put the ADT sign out in front of your house or any of those.
Sure.
If you don't have a security system, because oftentimes it'll thwart that type of behavior because people.
We know there's a camera there.
Yeah. Or at least they think there is one.
Yeah. That's true.
And any other? It's effective, then.
Go team.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah, on this golf cart issue, I think Ryan might not have necessarily been talking strictly about the damage over there at the park, but just in general, you know, as far as the age they can drive on the streets. Because I live on the boulevard, and there are so many kids driving golf carts there, and if you're a resident of the update, it just takes a bit of time, pull them over, either talk to them, drive them home, talk to the parents, because you know the parents got to give them the keys to the golf cart. I mean, I think we might solve a few of the issues, but it's got to start with some kind of enforcement, and it just will not happen.
Yeah,
just like the motorcycles and the speeding, there's no enforcement. So, that's just my thought. Thank you.
Now we are moving on to Con Fire. Vito, welcome.
I'm going to get a golf cart to go on the basketball. I'll talk about the fourth real quick. My name is Vito Posado, Assistant Chief with Contra Costa County. We have a new position, and that is...
I'm sorry, Vito?
Cards. That would be great.
Nobody likes to spell it.
Oh, I think, do you have more cards?
So you can tap me out. We have a new position where we have an assistant chief that covers the fire district from Discovery Bay all the way to San Pablo, and we essentially run operations for a specific shift. So my shift is B shift, and B shift is on today, and that's why you're seeing me. So if it was a C shift day, you'd see a different district chief. If it was an A shift day, you'd see a different person. So depending on the quarter that we make it out here, it might be a different person. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the annexation of East Contra Costa County. So that happened a couple of days ago. And I like to say, like, the universe, Confire just keeps expanding. We picked up Pinole a couple months ago, and it may seem insignificant that we have another district, two more fire stations on the other side of the county, but it all plays into how we move up and cover units, and you get more resources out here. You have more fire personnel, our bench depth is greater, and it's just all around a good thing. For yesterday, we were quiet all day long, and I was knocking on wood all day, and we got on top of our training tower and watched the show happen all over the county, and then as soon as it got dark and the fireworks show stopped, we went crazy. We ran about 58 fires from around 8 p.m. till midnight. Of those 58, we, I believe, confirmed that 50 of them were fireworks related. And with all that, we're still running medicals, we had vehicle accidents, we had a couple car fires, we had all those things happening all at the same time. We had one unit upstaffed and a lot of extra firefighters in our station, so that was good. Again, that bench depth thing that I was talking about. So when you put one more person on a fire engine from 3 to 4, it's amazing, but it exponentially changes how much these young, I call them kids, I feel like I just got here, but... old man compared to these guys, and they're like ants. They just go crazy out there. So they worked very hard. Towards the end of that midnight, time period, we had a structure fire in Pleasant Hill that wasn't fireworks related. It was lithium-ion batteries in the garage.
Was it an electric vehicle?
I think it was a scooter.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. It wasn't a car. And then we all thought after that, it was going to chill out a little bit. We had a fire in Bay Point. And at the same time in Antioch, we had two houses burning at the same time. Mm. That was fireworks related. So that was our busy day yesterday. A lot of our folks are running on 3 hours of sleep. So they all get off tomorrow, and I'm sure they will go straight to bed when they get home. The stats for Discovery Bay in the month of June, you had 69 calls. About 53 of them were medical related. You got a few false alarms, a couple of fire alarms. I wasn't able to figure out if the structure fire that came in during that time period was a working fire or was actual fire or not. So I don't know off the top of my head. And you had one vegetation fire. Some things that have been happening over the last couple of months. We added a fire truck to station 92. So we're, for the first time in the history of this area, we have a double house with an engine and a truck. So if you don't know the difference.
And that's the one on Bixler?
No, Bixler is 99. That's your station. That one's off of John Muir Parkway.
Okay.
So the trucks have the big ladders on them. They have all the extrication tools, rescue, all the good rescue stuff. So now we have a truck that's closer to the Basco corridor that can get there a lot quicker and affect the rescue. So think jaws of life and all that stuff. So that's good stuff. Station 95, which is Bethel Island, they just got the rescue boat put back in place out there. I don't know the exact marina that it's in. So that's good for getting out this way. We upstaffed our bulldozer for the summer, so you may see that thing clicking around, putting the fire out. And I think that's it on our upstaff. But we have our crew, which is a bunch of 20-year-olds with hand tools. There's about 18 of them, and some captains out there. So they're not the prison guys that you're used to seeing out in orange jumpsuits out there, but they work just as hard, and they're a good resource for us to have during this time period. It's been a slow start to the fire season.
Yay.
I wish it would stay slow all summer, but I don't think it will. We'll pick up here pretty quick. We've had a few fires out in the Brentwood area, closer to Marsh Creek. So a lot of good stuff happening. Another thing that we've added at Station 95 in Bethel Island is we have a fully staffed water tender. So usually what will happen is like 99 or Fixler or wherever that's at, they have a water tender there and a Type 1 fire engine. And they'll put, they get a known structure fire where they know there's no water supply, they'll tandem that water tender with them. 95, it's staffed, so they don't have to jump back and forth from the rig. So you may see that out there with one person on it.
What's the station number on Bixler?
99.
Didn't it used to be 59?
Yep. All the 5 series
went to 9s.
Went to 9s.
Okay.
Now you will see it.
I'm no longer confused.
Yeah, you will be if you go to El Cerrito, because they have all of the 5 series now. So they have a 51 and a 52.
And 95 is the new one that's on this side of the bridge in the housing area that finally got manned over there. It's not actually on Bethel Island, it's outside of, right. Okay, I'm good.
East Cypress?
Yeah, in Cypress, yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
good to see you.
It's great to see you.
Welcome. And thanks for all the work y'all are doing.
Hey, what's Brian up to? Where's Brian these days?
Helmick?
Yeah.
So he is at our admin, which is off of Port Chicago.
Okay.
He is a deputy chief of advanced planning, and he's also oversees our fire prevention bureau.
Good for him.
So I just saw him last night. He came in. The top guys were all in last night during the big show, and Ryan came in my office.
Well, when you see him next, let him know that the board of directors here in Discovery Bay miss him and appreciate him, all he's done for us.
I will definitely let him
know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Okay. So that ends our agency reports. We're going to now move on to discussion of possible action item G1. Dina?
All right, before you tonight is a scope of work for Wachovitz and Singh Municipal Consultants to conduct a water and wastewater rate study. The water and wastewater rate study is typically done any time between 3 to 5 years. And so we brought this back to you to conduct it a year in advance because we do have some huge big ticket items that need to get accomplished and addressed. And so before you is the rate study with a total cost of $42,470. And I listed out all the tax and the dollar amounts and the hours that Wachovitz and Singh Municipal Consultants will be conducting the work at.
So what we're looking at here tonight has nothing to do with the scope. It just has strictly to do with getting it started. So then they can develop the scope.
This is the scope.
Well, I mean, the scope from the standpoint of what items are going to be included in.
Meaning the rate study for the Prop 218?
Yeah.
Yes.
That we're not addressing tonight, what items are going to be actually in that rate study.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. This is
by
for
line
them,
items, what I'm trying to say.
Yes, this is for them to conduct the rate study. We have not met with them yet to go through all of the capital improvement
items. So what they know that they have to include.
Correct.
Exactly. Yes. That's my point. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is just to contract with them to begin the process.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Go ahead and open it up for public comment. Is there anybody online?
No hands are raised.
Oh, go ahead. Welcome, Dennis.
Again, I'm back. Anyways, what I brought up, one of the things I brought up to the water committee, and a lot of the people over here was, is that, my name is Dennis Concerns Buildings, is that really the committees should probably be eliminated, and all the information should come to Discovery Bay.
I have a quick question. Is this based on this agenda item?
It's based on the building.
But right now we're talking about a rate study.
Okay, well, it's not on the rate study. You talked about public comment?
Public comment for the rate study. The public comment for anything that wasn't agendized?
Okay. So you're
was at the beginning.
Public comment then?
We did.
I think you might have come in after that.
Yeah, you did. I apologize.
Anyways, okay. Well, I was just going to bring up that one point. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll talk to Kevin about that issue.
Okay.
All right.
Anytime,
thank you.
Dennis.
Thank you.
I started it based on the clock at 7 o'clock up there.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move on. So, is there any other public comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Gutto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion carries to move forward with staff's recommendation to approve the scope of work with Wachovitz and Singh Municipal Consultants for the water wastewater rate study. Okay. Blake. Names that I could pronounce would be amazing. Now we're going to move on to G2, discussion on possible action to approve the annual assessment for the Ravenswood Improvement District, Discovery Bay Lighting Landscape Zone 9 for fiscal year 2023. Is Gregory Harris on the line?
I believe he is.
Okay, Gregory, the floor is yours.
Gregory, can you hear us?
Gregory?
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. Dina's here.
So before you this evening is the engineer's report that I work with Herwitt on. every year we bring this report to you. This is for the Zone 9 assessment. You can see he and I work together. We put together the budget. We work through it. And then from that budget number, he calculates the annual assessment. There is a top, there is a ceiling of how much you can spend, and this 8/11/78 is the maximum that we can charge for Zone 9. Why it is 8/11/78 is because we do need to do some improvements to the splash pad, and so that's going to be very costly, so that kind of increased the Zone 9 assessment for this year. Other than that, are there any questions regarding this?
What was it previously?
Previously, it was 779, I believe, almost 780.
And what sets the limit?
It's CPI.
So it's all you're allowed to do per year based on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So it's not a cap, it's a yearly cap.
It's a yearly,
okay.
Yearly cap.
All right.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, I'm going to open it up for public comment on this agenda item. Is there anybody online? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the board for a motion.
Well, just to continue on my campaign of this subject and to be a voice for Zone 9, I don't question the number and I don't question the increase. But I do question then how the rest of the zones are supporting their portion. If every year Zone 9 is, you know, it's determined every year Zone 9 has to pay more, you know. Is it possible if we did a report such as this and submitted to the county that they would increase Zone 8? You know, I don't know.
So they did. So this year, Zone 8 was increased from the high $700,000 to $820,000.
Was that based on a report or that?
That's based on the director of finance report from the state. So we follow that report and we follow their calculation, and that's how we calculate that. So they also got an increase.
Which was also CPI,
it's,
right?
Yeah.
Based on the increase
approved
by the state across the board.
Correct.
For all districts.
Yes, and we are unincorporated Contra Costa County, and we use whatever numbers that they develop there to create to calculate the formula.
Well, it's good to hear that Zone 8 is getting some additional funding. So.
They are as well.
Is there any other discussion?
Move staff recommendation.
Can I get a second?
I will second that.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Guccio.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Callahan.
Aye.
President Porter.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
This item will be coming to the next meeting for the public hearing.
Okay.
So that you're aware. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. So now we're going to move on to manager's report. Looks like we have a landscape update from general manager. Alan.
Good evening, board. Bill Engelman's off on vacation, so I'll be doing the report. Just a few items. The town-wide palm tree trimming is now complete. I think they did a really good job watching them. Really place through. The regatta backflow and electric panel have been replaced. I haven't been able to receive complaints regarding the grass browning. That was because of not having the electrical out there, so it's coming back. The regatta playground installation is now complete. The regatta sign at Bixler and regatta finally got permitted through the county. And now scheduled to install. They'll be handling that. Cornell Prop 68, you know about the basketball courts, is intended to be completed by Friday. Not sure it's going to be. I'll come back early next week to complete it. All new barbecue and amenities have been ordered and scheduled for delivery over the next month. Remaining projects for this fall are the conversion of the playground surface back to natural park and new lawn. In the barbecue area. The Conservation Corps will have two crews, one on Clipper and the other tackling weeds in the streetscape. That'll be here the week of July 9th and July 16th. The path to Safeway should be completed. I believe it was done today. I'm not sure, but if not, it'll be good this week. And then Clipper, it'll be start picking up additional speed. I asked Bill Engelman why it looks like they're kind of moving kind of slow. He brought it to my attention that a lot of the more time-consuming tasks of grading and laying fabric have been done, so we're going to see it increase here a little bit. And then beginning of the week, we should start laying more bark and stone.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there any questions?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Going back to a comment you made about Cornell Park and replacing a surface with bark and turf of some kind, what surface are we replacing?
I'm not sure what the actual surface is right now.
It's a pour and play, so it's that rubbery kind of.
It's like tires.
The stuff that Farron had put in by the wall right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, and it's starting to peel. The sun
was supposed to. Well, it was put in how long ago?
13 or 14 it was
put in. Yeah, so it was put in 10 years ago.
Actually longer than that, because I think it was put in 11 or 12. So I got here and they were doing that project. So.
I'm just curious, because it was a revolutionary thing. It was safe, and we loved, and it was really cool stuff to walk around on. Mm-hmm. But obviously it has a lifespan, and it's too expensive to replace with the same product.
It's extremely expensive.
And that's why in Brentwood they have shade structures all over all their playground, because
then the UV doesn't affect it.
Exactly.
It dries it out.
So Parks and Rec knows all about this, I guess, right?
Well, we know a little bit.
I mean, knows about the replacement of one item for another.
Yes.
It just caught my ear because I remember it was a big deal when we put it in. We raised money, and
yes,
we had a big deal down there when we put that in. Okay,
I'm not sure if it's the same material that they put on in Regatta, where they actually lay it and they actually shape it like concrete.
That's the new play structure at Regatta? Yeah, I know, that's something different.
Okay, yeah, that would be
maybe it'll be more durable, I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm just curious because it was a big deal. It was cool stuff. It was revolutionary at the time. Go ahead.
And I do have a question.
Because I remember fire too, so.
Yeah. I know since Bill's not here, you don't have all the information, but when will they start working on Discovery Bay Boulevard? Just pulling leads and
We've had staff out there this week working on Discovery Bay Boulevard, doing weeds.
It's only Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was a holiday.
Yeah, yesterday was a holiday.
Bill was out there on Monday, and so it was Matt.
Excellent.
So they're out there with their weed eaters, and Bill was actually working on the median issue, which soon turned into a boulevard.
I saw Matt. He had a trailer full of debris, so he was busy.
Yeah, that was on Monday.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move on. Thank you, Alan. We're going to move on to director's reports, communications committee meeting. Director Graham, Director Gatow?
Yes. We met today and discussed a new communications policy that will be coming the board's way next meeting. And it's pretty much an all-encompassing, talking about social media sites, possibly establishing a newsletter, and having a press release and general social media posting templates, so we can always make sure we have all the right info in there.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, now moving on to Parks and Rec Committee. Director Gatow, Director Callahan.
Got some updates about the wall ball rebuild something that will be coming to the board will be about the shade structure for the pickleball courts. So that should be appearing on a future agenda soon.
Perfect. Any questions? Now, water, wastewater. Do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
So we had a couple updates. Well 7, as some may recall, had a failure. And we are trying to expedite repair of that based on the fact that expedite repair period, but also because we're going into the hot season and we need the water. Currently, we're not in a dire situation, but we're moving forward with some alternative ways to make that happen as soon as possible. And we're bringing in some different contractors to get some different ideas. And then on well 8, we saw some great pictures of the progress that we've been making there in the fact that the well's been drilled to depth, and now we're going to start putting in the casing and everything that goes along with it after that. But it's moving along very well and on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. The other thing that we discussed in the water wastewater meeting was options for a new office building. We had several. How come we took the sheet out? We took the chart out.
I think it's important that we read them.
Okay. So
we decided to make a list of options that we as a board had considered or would be considering, and this honestly was based on response from the public, I'll briefly read them. Stay in the existing building. Now remember, these are options that may or may not occur. They may be immediately crossed off the list, or they may be something that we have much discussion and input from the public on. Lease, rent space, build a new building, build a modular building with a couple of different options, either on a current site or in a new location, or purchase land to put a modular unit on. Again, remember that these are all considerations that we're gonna go through and look at and explore. Lakeview Shopping Center, remodel the community center, and repurpose it. What?
We put that on there even though it's in the ad hoc committee meeting.
Well, yeah, because it's an option that we're gonna have to look at once they get their report to us.
Once they get the report done.
And then new of existing site. New what?
New fencing of existing site, security fencing.
So, yeah, there was some talk from the public about what can we do with the existing site to dual purpose it, use it for offices as well as for the water treatment plant. And then the existing building at River Lake, which it was brought up by the public. There's a building, a semi-commercial or commercial building right here on the corner across from Dash or Mike's. That had been talked about, and so it was put on the list. And that's what we have on the list currently. Going forward, the committee will start to gather data and look at those options. And that's all I got.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Looks like we are at the end. Director's regional meeting noted that Director Graves went to the advisory aviation committee. Is there any future agenda items? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and...
Before you adjourn, I will not be here at the upcoming meeting, but we'll get to see our old friend, Rod.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
He'll be in my absence, but we're taking my family on a vacation, so maybe out that week.
Have fun.
It'll be either Rod or Tom. So
Tom's the tall guy that...
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
So come either on. Old Rod or
new Tom.
Well, tell Rod to show up. That's a bunch, Jeff. Tell Rod to show up because we really miss it.
I'm really pushing.
Tell him we want to. Tell him
he wants to come out as well.
We want to see him.
Perfect. Thank you. Have fun on your vacation. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn our meeting at 7:42.